Hare Krishna, and welcome to the Bhagavad Gita lecture. We use Bhagavad Gita as a basis, but then we also continue the second part. Is it okay? The sound is okay? It's clear enough? It's loud enough? Okay. Then we continue this series of nine lessons on community building, right? So we started this morning the Bhagavatam class, so we continue today. How many of you remember the theme of this morning? For me, thank you. So, anybody remembers the theme, the subject, the topic of this morning? It left an indelible impression on you all. Now, of course, some of you were not here. These are themes that our organizers have identified. This morning was the need for synergy, for working together to achieve success. And we explored different ideas of success, what success means for different devotees. And we got different perspective. We're also discussing this graphic that you see on the board. This is a tool for system thinking. When we think of a complex entity, like, say, ISKCON or any community, any company, any organization, that's a tool to explore it. There are events, which is things which happen, and they are visible. No? You can see how many people, say, come to a Sunday program. That's an event. Yesterday you had this event, and you could measure, okay, how many people came, how many preparations we offered, what kind of publicity we made, and so on. Then there are trends over time, what events happen over time. And you can see that these trends happen because there are certain systems. Now, when we talk about systems, some systems are planned. Like, for instance, you have a shop. There is a system, what time the shop opens. And there is somebody in charge who decides what to buy, what kind of products. So, some systems are planned. Some other systems just happen. We do things like that. But it's a system, but it's not a planned system. It's not the design system. It's just an expression of people's culture. And then at the bottom, the most important, the most influential, the most weighty issue is our mental models. Our attitude, our values, what we think is important, and what we don't think is important. And it's also here that the definition of who we are, what's our vision, what's our mission, what's our sense of identity. And this morning we had a little exploration of what's our sense of success as a community. And obviously, if a community can be on the same page on what constitutes success, that could be very useful. So today's topic is that servant leadership in ISKCON, leadership in the Vaishnava community simply means serving more people. That's one definition of leadership. When you take a position in a Vaishnava community, then means that you serve more and more devotees. More devotees and also more people in general. The title of today is, in Vaishnava communities, leaders simply serve more people. Okay, so So we use the Bhagavad Gita verse as a basis. Is anybody going to put this on the board or no? Maybe you can give the Bhagavad Gita to our translator. I'll just read it, no problem. We are talking about Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, Karma Yoga, verse 38. Dhumena vriyate vanir yatadharsho malena cha yatolbhena vrto garbas tata tenedam avritam. Translation. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are 3 degrees of covering of the living entity by which its pure consciousness is obscured. This covering is but lust under different manifestations, like smoke in the fire, dust on the mirror, and the womb about the embryo. When lust is compared to smoke, it is understood that the fire of the living spark can be a little perceived. In other words, when the living entity exhibits its Krishna consciousness slightly, it may be likened to the fire covered by smoke. Although fire is necessary, where there is smoke, there is no overt manifestation of fire in the early stage. This stage is like the beginning of Krishna consciousness. The dust on the mirror refers to a cleansing process of the mirror of the mind by so many spiritual methods. The best process is to chant the holy names of the Lord. The embryo covered by the womb is an analogy illustrating a helpless position. For the child in the womb is so helpless that he cannot even move. This stage of living condition can be compared to that of the trees. The trees are also living entities, but they have been put in such a condition of life by such a great exhibition of lust that they are almost void of all consciousness. The covered mirror is compared to the birds and beasts, and the smoke covered fire is compared to the human being. In the form of a human being, the living entity may revive a little Krishna consciousness, and if he makes further development, the fire of spiritual life can be kindled in the human form of life. By careful handling of the smoke and the fire, fire can be made to blaze. Therefore, the human form of life is a chance for the living entity to escape the entanglement of material existence. In the human form of life, one can conquer the enemy, lust, by cultivation of Krishna consciousness under able guidance. Okay, so we have this verse as a basis. And the idea is that there are different levels of coverings. So anything, of course, in this world can be done in the 3 gunas. Those who are familiar with the Bhagavad Gita know this principle very well. Sri Krishna gives a number of examples from a number of chapters on how in this world things can be done in the 3 gunas. Austerity. One may think, well, austerity is something spiritual. Yes, but not always. Not always. There is austerity in sattva-guna, there is austerity in raja-guna, and austerity in tamas-guna. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sacrifice. One may think, well, sacrifice is something spiritual. Yeah, but it can be filtered. Charity. One may think, well, charity is something that spiritual, no? You give. Yes, but it can be in sattvaguna, in rajaguna, in tamaguna. Activities, knowledge. One may say, but knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge is information. Yes, but this information can be filtered through sattva, rajas, and tamas. And we can go on with food and so on. Now, I ask you a question. In the building of our community, in the building of our ISKCON, Ljubljana, ISKCON, anywhere, but specifically Ljubljana, what could be the characteristics of community building in sattva guna, the mode of goodness? And we'll take some ideas. You can tell me. I'll repeat for those who are online. We know how many people are online? About 20. Okay. So, ideas. What could be the characteristics? I'm not looking for exact answer or something that I already have in mind. I'm asking you. You know the characteristic of sattvaguna, goodness. So in community development, what could be the characteristic if it's done in sattvaguna? Trust. Trust among the members of the community. Trust, respect. Okay, so like a healthy relations based on trust, confidence. What else? Yes. Planning. Okay, so planning for the future, vision. Not just reacting, I'm adding a little commentary, not just reacting to what happens, to crisis, but actually building a better future through planning. Education. Everybody is elevated by education in its different forms. They learn more knowledge, they learn skills, how to serve the Lord, how to deal with each other. They learn also deep values and so on. So education pervades the community. Everybody is learning something. It's an ongoing process of becoming better human beings, better Vaishnavas, and more equipped Vaishnavas to serve. When we learn more things, we can do more things. Thank you. What else? Yes.
Mutual care.
So, mutual care, it takes a sense of altruism, generosity. It takes a sense of empathy. It takes a sense of awareness. What other people need? What can I do for them? So, not just being self-centered, but being available, being focused on helping. Very good. Those who speak Slovenian can say in Slovenian. We'll have a translation.
Balance.
Huh?
Balance.
Can you elaborate a moment?
Balance, for instance, balance between taking care of people and doing the projects. So it's not only one thing. Okay.
Okay, so balance, not any like unnecessary extremisms. We do only this, we do only that. There's a balance. We see the people, then we also see what project can serve the people, can serve the mission in a mood of balancing our energies and our priorities. Anything else? One or two more? Sattva guna, community building. Yes.
Regularity and regularity in some spiritual events.
Uh-huh.
Goals, and so forth.
Okay, so we could say that religiosity or the observance of festival, Vaishnava festivals, are regularly observed, and there is some sense of social discipline. No, when it's Janmashtami, when it's Ekadasi, you could say that Vaishnava calendar offers the pace of the life of the community. Last point, Sattva Guna. Community building in Sattva Guna.
Mentorship
system. Can you elaborate?
So everyone is sort of connected. So everyone is sort of connected under the same system of values and the goal that the whole community is trying to reach.
So mentorship, you mean everybody has somebody who's supervising or helping, a tutor or some sort of buddy. So in other words, there's a sense of protection, there's a sense of that everyone is important, everybody should have somebody to...
One-on-one relation. That sort of connects you to the whole...
Okay. So it's like a capillary network of caring. Thank you. Very good list. So, what would be the characteristic of community building under the mode of passion, Rajaguna? Quick enrichment. So, enrichment in the sense of money, finance. So, because there's so much hard work, so quick, the money, we make a lot of money quickly. Okay?
Cheap following. So, we sort of lower the standards and then try to get more people to come.
We adjust standards. So we compromise on something that should not be compromised. In other words, we start cutting corners for getting followers or some other quantitative success. Okay, that could be certainly a symptom of passion. What else?
Burning people.
Yes, there's a...
Too much demands,
too much activities. Yeah, there's a burnout because people are feeling so much pressure, so much maybe overwork, so many intense desires for... Even if they're spiritual, but there's no balance on with other needs of the people. So people feel, first of all, very pressurized, and then they actually feel exhausted and spent. Thank you. Yes?
Trying to get popularity without investing, oftentimes, proper sustainable systems for... maintaining
popularity. Do you mean
both individually, right? Like, you know, trying to
promote oneself,
uh-huh. And also in some, even as a society.
Okay, yeah, very good. Yeah, self-aggrandizement. It's a symptom of passion. Huh? I want to be known. I want to be centered. I want to be the center of attention. I need this type of fame, this type of influence, and even in the popularity in outside, we may advertise ourselves very energetically, but maybe there's not much content. Maybe there's not much quality. We're just making a show. A facade. Very good. Another couple of qualities or characteristics of community building in under the mode of passion, Rajaguna.
It's similar to success at the cost of health.
Yes, success meaning achieving things, but at the cost of health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. Okay, so it's like not a long-term sustainable effort, but it's something that really gets something, but then there is always a very high cost, high consequences. Last symptom of passion? Low planning. Okay, so they're not having a vision for the future, but actually just acting on the impulse, on instinct, on the spur of the moment. Thank you. Now we go down. What would be the characteristics of community building in the mode of ignorance? Tamas guna. Of course, tamas guna generally there's not much building, there's not much development, but what characteristics a Vaishnava community will have if it's heavily influenced by tamas guna? Yeah. Huh? My way of a highway, so the leaders or those in position of influence make some very draconian edicts. They just impose certain ways, and there is no plurality. There is no real space for dialogue. It's like this is the way, and there's no other way. Okay. Tamasic. Tamasic means very narrow and very violent in one sense, you know. Yes?
Expecting that things will change without us putting an effort.
Ah, yes, that's the nature of tamas, a dream stage. People criticize or just hope for the best. And they just think, oh, if this was happening, oh, if that will happen, oh, if we had better this, oh, if we had better leaders, oh, this, oh, that. I remember when this Prabhu was there, things were going very different, you know. And then, you know, it's like, but without putting the work, right? Just a cloud of lamentation. Thank you. Yes, neglecting the standards of deity worship, for instance. So, punctual. Please.
No respect for the authorities.
No respect for the authorities. Okay, so standards for deity worship, such as cleanliness, such as punctuality, such as the quality of the pujari, the priests. Are they in a proper consciousness to do the worship? No respect for authorities means no respect for the elders, no respect for people with knowledge, and no respect generally also means a lot of criticism, a lot of backbiting, a lot of, we could say, the atmosphere becomes very toxic. There's no respect. And we start seeing things in a very dark way. We always see negativity in everybody. And so when we see negativity in everybody, we see the defect, only the defects. We live in that atmosphere. And therefore that doesn't certainly facilitate our respect. Very good. Two more? Yes? Two, three?
Okay,
so that's that's a symptom of tamoguna, that even if the idea is good, one takes that as the only thing. No, kritsnavat. One takes one thing as everything. So even if it's a good project, bona fide project, legitimate project, spiritual project, but if it's just too narrow and too exclusive, then it becomes as the nature of tamas. Even if the activity in itself, it's spiritual, but if it says, no, this is the only way, this is the only way to the Lord through this activity, then it's a symptom of tamoguna. Yes, yes, yes.
Just complaining without trying to personally take responsibility.
Yes, complaining, that's the nature of the tamoguna. Shudra. Shudra comes from the root, shok, means lamenting. Vaishyas, kshatriyas, brahmanas don't lament. They act in their field, but they act. They don't just sit around lamenting. That's the characteristic of shudras, to lament. So, if the whole community laments, it's not a happy community. Would be not an attractive community. I mean, who wants to join a community where everybody laments? Chant Hare Krishna and be miserable. It's not a good advertisement.
Trying to resolve or manage things that already took place a long time ago.
Trying to resolve or manage things that already took place a long time ago. Can you give an example? Oh, kind of living in the past. Yeah. That happens. That happens sometime when there's a touch of tamaguna. We live in the past. Oh, something happened 20 years ago. Oh, something happened 5 years ago. Okay, but that was 5 years ago. It's not now. But we live in the past. Oh, like that. Yes, yes. More symptoms? Ah, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I need to repeat that. So breaking the law, breaking, manipulating money, and breaking basic moral principles. Yes, when there is a covering of tamas, we feel authorized or we even feel inspired to act illegally. In matters of money, or in matters what we tell people, and we massage the truth, or sometimes we just make it up. And so we think, well, that's a good deal because we get some immediate result, no? But then we lose completely our reputation. We may actually lose. We may get court cases. And we may lose everything. We may lose our status, legal status. They can close down, or just becomes we stop seeing the difference between reality and illusion, and we create a network of lies, lies to the government, lies to the public, lies to ourselves. So yes, that's very. Very crucial symptom of tamoguna. Doing things that, again, they look very smart, but actually are very, very stupid in the long run. Thank you. So this was a bit of an overview of what, how in our community building we can be influenced by a number of gunas and what these gunas could influence us to think or do or feel. And generally, like Sri Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, things like happiness. Happiness in tamoguna It's a dream from the beginning to the end. It's just a dream. It's not real happiness. And so a community based in Tamaguna just lives in certain kind of crazy ideas. Ideas that they're not crazy in themselves, but they're crazy if they want things that they are actual and applicable. For instance, some devotees think that our goal in Slovenia is to, they may think, I don't know, maybe nobody thinks like that, that our goal is to reestablish a monarchy in Slovenia. No. Because, you know, the Bhagavatam, we see so many kings, so maybe that's what we should work for. Things like that, you know, like, or some rules from bygone ages, in terms of social arrangement, completely impractical, sometimes even illegal, right? Like that. Rajaguna, of course, is much better because there is energy, there is some intelligence, but again, it's a very much short term. So we may do a lot of things, sell a lot of books, sell a lot of prasad, and do a lot of events, a lot of activities. But Krishna explained the happiness in passion is nectar at the beginning, but then it turns into poison. So we see people that in a certain stage of their life, they were very enthusiastic, empowered actually, and they were doing, producing a lot of results, but then the same people, after a few years, they become bitter. They may become resentful. Oh, I gave the best years of my life, and what did I get? Nothing. So, what looks like a big growth, it becomes a big bitterness. But the nature of sattva guna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the happiness in sattva guna is poison at the beginning. Poison is bad. I hope nobody has experience, but poison, we can imagine, is very bitter, very horrible, very burning. Huh? So, Krishna says, happiness on Sattva-guna is poison at the end, at the beginning. But then it turns into nectar. Why? Because it's based on self-purification, self-discipline, higher principles, going beyond our lower nature, and also thinking long term, not just think what looks like the what they call the low hanging fruit. No? There's a tree, and some fruits are low hanging, so you take the immediate thing. No, but maybe takes more time, bring the ladder so you can take all the fruits like that. So in building a community, we may want to do fast. Fast means passion. And just focus, say, on those who are most productive. Those who can give more hours, give more work, attention, service. But in sattva guna, we tend to think of everyone. Because that's the nature of sattva guna, is more holistic, it's more wholesome. So we don't see anybody as useless. And therefore we invest on people. We invest on the long-term growth, on their long-term welfare. And that takes vision. And it's a form of poison, because sometimes you invest in somebody and there is no return, really. You take care of the children, and children before they become, say, productive, takes many, many years. or you take care of the elders, and you may not get immediately anything, apparently anything, because the elders, they're tired in life, physically, they cannot offer so much. But then you create a culture in which people feel welcome, and people feel accepted, they feel valuable, and then they reciprocate. Children, they reciprocate by remaining devotees all life, by building a very deep sense of identity. This is my movement, I want to do something, I want to take some responsibility in this movement. So all that energy that you invested in them gets paid off marvelously. And elders, first of all, you do it as a duty, because you appreciate their past contributions. This is a main, one of the main parameters of sattvaguna, that you do things out of duty. So you have elders, they may not be so productive right now, but they have done a lot for the Lord. And if they're part of the community, then we have some duty to reciprocate with them. And sometimes even that gets rewarded marvelously. First of all, by taking care of the elders, it's much easier that you will also be taken care of when you are elder. In other words, you generate good karma. You generate, in other words, it's like an insurance. You're giving now care, and when you will need care, somebody will offer you care. But there are also more tangible, measurable consequences. For instance, elderly people, at one point they leave this world, and if they have some valuable property, they may decide to leave it to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I was just in Villa Vrindavan, Florence, and the temple president said that there was a gentleman who was friendly with the devotees living in Sicily, which is a long way from Florence, but somehow he just decided, when he died, he put his apartment in the name of ISKCON. It wasn't a big apartment, but the value was around 50,000 euros. And it was kind of a surprise, because, you know, somebody somewhere, just a friend of the devotees, but somehow he felt, well, this is my people. And like that, maybe he didn't have children to leave anything to anybody, so he just left his property to ISKCON. So there are also tangible advantages in taking care of elderly people. We do it out of duty, but there are advantages. You may look at a very, you know, decrepit little man or little woman and say, this is useless. It's not useless. Okay. So back to our theme, a leader in Krishna consciousness, a leader in Vaishnava community, is a servant, right? We heard many times, that's our nature, right? We are supposed to be servants. What's the difference between a leader servant and other who are not maybe leaders? Well, the leader needs to be thinking of more people. Generally, we do all have some position of leadership, because if we are a mother, father, we are natural leaders. Our children, they have to obey to us. They have to listen to us. Even if we are elder brothers or elder sisters, generally younger siblings, they look up to the older older siblings, right? I know about your experience, but if you possibly, if you had an older brother when you were small, you would think, oh, my older brother is so cool, he's so advanced, he has so many experiences in the world. Maybe he was just 15 and you were just 8. But, you know, for him, no, being 15, you know, he could come back at night, very late, like 9:30. And for you, that was, wow, something very special. So, anybody has some leadership. But when we talk about leadership in a community, obviously means somebody who takes more responsibility. He takes upon himself or herself more service. And there are two ways. I mean, I'm not saying there are the only two ways, but there are two ways of becoming a leader. One, again, it may not be the only two ways, but there are two ways of becoming a leader. One is that one wants that position and works for that position of leadership. Generally, that's influenced by passion. In other words, I think, if I get there, then I'll be happy. And if I, so I want a title. I want to be temple priest. Or I want to be head pujari. Or I want to be zonal supervisor. I want to be GBC. I want to be guru. So I'm looking at the position and I imagine, I project that that position will give me pleasure when I get there. And I work to do that. And I work to achieve that. Maybe in a legitimate ways. Huh? But that's my goal. And I'm trying my best to get to that goal. Another way is that one starts taking responsibilities, one starts taking things at heart. He really wants things to improve. Maybe he just wants to improve the cleanliness of the temple, the orderliness of the temple. So he, even beyond his service, is really looking, okay, is the temple really clean? Is really orderly? And he puts some effort. No? He puts some effort. And because he has that value, then maybe he starts looking also outside. What about the kitchen? What about the pujari? What about the reception area? What about the parking? Huh? And he starts, because he wants to serve. He wants to see certain things happening and he takes responsibility. And then that gets noticed. And so because he's being good at that, then more responsibility is given. And so it may become official. Because, okay, you become the temple commander. Because you're taking so nice care of the temple. He's not thinking, I want to become the temple commander. But because he's acting in a way that is really thinking of the temple, the orderliness, then that's noticed and say, see, this is a responsible person, man or woman, and let him give more responsibility. And then maybe because he's very responsible as a temple commander, then sometimes people think, well, maybe, you know, we need a succession plan, we need a new president. What about that person? Very responsible, very diligent, very reliable. So let him do that. And then one day he's a temple president, and he's doing a good work of taking care of the community, taking care of the temple, always thinking about the future. And people notice and say, maybe he should become the zonal supervisor. Or he should become the president of the whole ISKCON Slovenia. Things like that. And then that gets noticed. And you say, oh, you see, he's always very good, this ISKCON Slovenia, and there's leadership is growing and people are happy. Maybe he should become the GBC. And so they give him more areas to supervise. Like that. So these are kind of two ways. One is looking for the position, and one is that the position looks for you. In other words, you are taking more and more responsibility, And therefore, they're given to you with the position attached, but you are not looking for the position. It just gets... So, the leader means serving more people. If you're a leader of department, you serve the people in that department. If it's a deity department, of course you serve the Panchatattva, you serve Gurnitai, you look for the other, after the other pujaris, and so on, like that. If you are a leader of another department, the kitchen, you also want to create a nice atmosphere, maybe in the kitchen, maybe you put nice lectures, you put nice music, you see that the cooks also get prasad, like that. You're taking good responsibility. And more you take responsibility in the community, more you serve people. And sometimes a leader serves people who are not even born. Because he's thinking of what will happen to this place in 50 years, in 100 years. How will be the Krishna consciousness in Slovenia in 100 years? And of course, probably in 100 years, nobody here will be in our bodies. Unless you're extremely, extremely resistant. So, you serve people even who are not even born at the moment, but you serve them. That's one of, for instance, in the GBC strategic planning team, this is our meditation. What can we do now so that Vaishnavas in 150, 200 years will look back and say, yeah, that was a good decision. That was a good move. That was a good effort. That some people worked on that. And now we have this situation like that. That's a sort of inspiration. Okay, we have 5 minutes. We go up to 8. Am I correct? 8? Yes. We have 5 minutes. Anybody like to ask some in question? Or maybe a comment, an inspiration, an intuition, a revelation? Or just a speculation? What? Just say whatever you want to, whatever you want to share.
So maybe if you could elaborate a little bit more on how one can sort of set himself into this line of progression, how to properly take guidance or shelter or to sort of develop yourself like that.
Well, one has to prepare himself, and there are different ways of preparing oneself. A lot of the preparation is like how we lead our daily life, like how we chant our holy names. We have a daily quota. Are we chanting that quota? First question. Second, are we giving the proper energy, the proper attention? Because obviously that's Krishna, that's our time with Krishna. Did I say something wrong? No. Okay, that's our time with Krishna. And so we need to see, how am I spending the time with Krishna? That's the most important time of the day. That's the only real promise we do at the time of initiation. I mean, things that we promise to do. We promise to spend quality time with Krishna every day. So how are we doing that? How are we preparing in the sense of building up our understanding through reading the books on a daily basis? Those are things that are important but not urgent. They are not urgent because, okay, if today I don't read any book, it's not the end of the world. But it's important because if I read my, say, 10 pages, 20 pages, 30 pages, that's like more than 1,000 pages in 1 year. And if I don't read, it's more than 1,000 pages that I don't read. So that makes me different as a person in 1 year. Right? as a representative of Srila Prabhupada, as a follower of Srila Prabhupada, 1,000 pages more or less make a good difference. But on a daily basis, doesn't look like making any difference. In fact, nobody even knows. Did I read? Did I not read? It's not something that we tell the deities in the morning. No? We tell how many pages we sold, but not how many we read. I'm just giving an example. So, prepare oneself, first of all, in the basics of bhakti, and then prepare oneself also in terms of being able to do bigger things, expand our mind. I remember once when I started doing book distribution, for instance, in Italy, we had the Bhagavad Gita for 3,000 liras. Which would be now, I don't know, €3, €3, more or less. And it was a softbound Gita, and that was it. Basically, we would sell one Gita at a time for €3. And then slowly, more books were published, now the great classics. Huh? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. At one point, well, we were selling sets of 21 books for about, say, €20 each. So it was about 400, 500 euros a set. Huh? So as we went on, the mind expanded. How to present ourselves, how to present the books. So we need to also work on that. How we can serve, so prepare ourselves for our spiritual life, individual spiritual life, our relation with Krishna. Because ultimately, leader means we're leading people somewhere. If we are not leading them to the lotus feet of Krishna, where are we leading them? So, leading in Krishna consciousness means leading others towards Krishna consciousness. That should be very clear. If we don't help people thinking more of Krishna, what are we doing? And at the same time, gain the tools for doing things. Learn different things according to your nature, according to your capacity, according to the needs. Expand your toolbox. It's like if you're a carpenter, if you don't have a toolbox, it would be very hard to do anything. Right? So expands your range of skills, your range of experiences. Learn, keep learning, see what other people do. Extract some principles, see how they can be. In other words, be active intellectually, being active mentally. Open your eyes and learn, keep learning, keep preparing yourself. Like Arjuna, he kept preparing himself, getting weapons, and then he became the biggest archer of the world and the most powerful, and then he won the Kurukshetra war with the help of Krishna, the little help from his friend. So keep preparing yourself internally and also externally. Otherwise, you reach a plateau that you'll not be able to deal with the situation. You're just not prepared. You don't have the tools, you don't have the mental model, and then you stop there. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize, I went over 2 minutes or three. I hope you got something out of this presentation, this exchange. Talk about community in the three gunas. And we spoke something about leadership in a Vaishnava community. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So have a pleasant evening. And see you tomorrow, I guess, if you like. Jai. We continue this series for another 3 days.